Beginning in chapter 4 of Ephesians, we've looked at how we should walk or how we should carry ourselves. And as believers, we have been admonished to go together or to be united. We've been admonished to go forward, to move toward that goal that that God has for us. We were also admonished to be different. We're not called to be the same as the rest of the world. We are being called to be set apart. And then we've been called to show love to one another. And then today, Paul admonishes each of us to embrace wisdom. Now, unfortunately, in our world today, we equate wisdom with
being old.
I wasn't going to say that. But perhaps with a degree that we have earned. That's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is in a relationship with God. Foolish or unwise is a separation from God. So we're called to walk in wisdom and to allow our testimony in the world, in the world to influence others for God. The way we're empowered to do any or all of these things that Paul has outlined is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That indwelling is a gift from God. It is, in fact, God. It is God in the third person who comes to live inside each of us, in our hearts, and to walk before us. He's coming to be our guide. He's coming to read the roadmap and help us as we face the days here on earth until either we are called home or until Jesus returns. Most everyone in this room does some kind of traveling, short or long trips, and you realize that you need some guidance. Maybe you use a GPS. I have to tell you that after moving here just a few short months ago, I certainly am grateful for Waze. Because if not, I would be sitting out there somewhere trying my dead level best to get back to Lakeview Bend Circle and not having any idea how to accomplish that. We use GPS, we use printed maps, we use directions from friends, but our spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. The GPS can fail. The map can be misprinted. The directions from a friend can be misinterpreted. But those that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, we don't have a problem with being out by ourselves. We have His indwelling. Last week, Paul made the contrast between light and dark. Today, he's making the contrast between wise, and the King James Version uses the word foolish. Our printed quarterly says unwise, but I happen to like that term, foolish, because to me it says you are not acting sensibly. If you look at in Acts at the second chapter, the first through the fourth verses, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit came to live and dwell in the believers at the time of Pentecost. It's not a second blessing. It's not something we achieve. It's not something we earn. It's not something that we merit. It is a free gift from God. This was to the Jewish believers. A few chapters over, when Paul visited the home of Cornelius, the same thing happened, and the Holy Spirit came to indwell the Gentile believers. So, let's begin by looking this morning at the focal passage, which is actually pretty short. There's only about six verses, but they are packed full of instructions for us. basically, there are three instructions in this text this morning. There's some things that fall into each category, but basically three. So let's read the entire passage before we begin. And I'll read it from the Quarterly, since that's what all of you have. Pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Remember, this is His will for you. This is not His suggestion. This is what He has set apart for us. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. The very first command that Paul outlines for us here is to be wise. And he encourages the Ephesian believers to move in this direction. And the wisdom here is making the right kind of living choices, the things that we do every day. Some of these are things that we don't even think about, but the choices we make in how we live. It's an encouragement, or should be. He says to us to pay careful attention. That actually means to reflect on, to be careful about what we do, to live accurately, not to be easily compromised, to make sure that God's will is reflected in our lives, to walk circumspectly. That's the word that the King James and New King James use, to walk circumspectly or upright, accurately, with great care. Be careful in the way we walk, because someone's watching us. We're the only testimony, the only witness that some people will see. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said that if you lack wisdom, you should ask God for it. But he goes on to say, because it's a gift from God. It's a gift. How many of you don't like to get a gift? You know, pretty soon it's going to be gift-giving time, folks. And everybody likes when that package has their name on it, right? Well, the package that God has for us has our name on it. And it's Him living inside us. So all we have to do is ask for His wisdom. And as I said, when Paul uses the term fool, foolish, or unwise, he's not talking about someone uneducated. Just a very personal note. I was born to parents who were much, 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 much older than any of my friends' parents. So therefore, my grandparents were what I considered to be eons older than anyone else. These were kind, loving, godly men with virtually no formal education. My grandfather, who lived in East Tennessee in Chattanooga, only went to about the third grade. And I'm ashamed to say that as children, we used to laugh when he would send us to the end of the driveway to get the evening paper so he could read the column by Billy Graham. And we laughed at the way he pronounced that name. But he was a wise, godly man. Could he pick up a textbook? Did he have a degree? No. But he was wise, much beyond what any of us who have degrees have ever achieved. So Paul is talking about people who are separated. When we make unwise decisions, we separate ourselves from God. He says we need to make the most of our time. Why? Well, he tells us here, because the days that we're living in are evil? Do you doubt that that our society is much, if any, different from the period that Paul was writing to? No, it was very much the same, or is very much the same. And remember, one day we have to stand accountable for how we used not only our talents, but just as importantly, our time. Waste my money if you want, well, at least if you waste my money, I can make more. If you waste my time, or if I waste my time, I won't ever get that back. So Paul says, be careful. Our world is not that much different than the world that Paul was living in. So he says, make the most of it. We should embrace every opportunity that we have for service and worship. Our worship should be in our service. Then in verse 17, again, he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's not a, I wish you would do this kind of list. The Lord's will is definite. The short list on the Lord's will reads something like this: be saved. That's His will for everyone, that we are saved. Then to be spirit controlled or spirit filled. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. That's what Paul's encouraging these people to do. Then the Lord's will is that we be sanctified, set apart, be different than the rest of the world. If we embrace the world's values, then we are not following God's will. He says, I want you to be submissive, not only to my will, but be submissive to one another. Be thoughtful and considerate of one another. Be willing to suffer, he says. The greatest example we have of that is that Christ suffered and bore our sins and wasn't ashamed to suffer. Then he says, be thankful that you've had the opportunity to do all of these things. Paul encouraged the believers to understand the Lord's will. He encouraged them to seek out God's will. And you know, every small decision that we make is a building block to make a larger decision and to make it accurately, or to make it in accordance with God's will. You didn't start out as a toddler by running, did you? You started out by those few faltering steps, and you fell down. And your guide at that time, a parent, had to pick you up. But as time went on, you built on that mobility so that you could run later. So as we make everyday decisions on how we live, that enables us or prepares us for the larger decisions that we will be called on to make. The second thing he commands us is to be filled. There's only one verse in this, and it's so clear there's no way that you can misunderstand the interpretation here. He says, don't get drunk with wine. Now, what happens when people are overcome with consumption of alcohol?
Poor judgment.
Thank you. Poor judgment. Poor judgment. When you're under the influence of alcohol, you don't make right decisions. So Paul says, don't even consider that. You need to be filled, he says, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the way the rest of the world is living leads to reckless living. In the Roman world at that time, the consumption of alcohol very often was a part of their pagan worship and sacrifice to pagan gods. He says that's not the kind of thing that the church is supposed to be embracing. Instead, you put a stop to that and be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with God's influence. And the verb tense here is one that means to keep right on being filled. It's not okay, I got this one time and I won't ever need anything else. I won't ever be tempted again. No, it's a continuous thing. It's the infinitive, passive infinitive, to continue to be filled, keep on being filled. Paul's talking about living continually under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that he tells his readers here is to be genuine. Now, when I first looked at that, I thought, well, now that's an odd thing to, an odd adjective here for this, or verb for this heading. Be genuine. Don't we all think that we're genuine? We're for real, don't we? Yeah. But what he's actually saying here is you need to be able to express what God has done for you. And he's talking here about three different kinds of hymns or songs that are being sung. The first, he's talking about psalms. Well, that's part of the Old Testament songs that the Israelites sang on their way to the temple. If you go back and read Psalm, I think it's 120 through 134, they're classified as the Psalms of Ascent. And the people going up to the temple, and when I say up, remember it was on a rise, so you were always going up to the temple. And they sang these songs as they were walking to temple. That was their expression to the rest of the world about their faith and their commitment. That's one kind of song. Song's the only word I can use here. The other was hymns. Now that falls more in the category, I think, of the things that we're accustomed to singing, you know, in church, from our hymnal, those kind of worship songs. They're a more traditional than the psalms that they sang as they went up to the temple. And then he talks about spiritual songs. Well, those are personal testimony. When I think about that, I think about the choruses that we sing. And here we kind of get into some real delicate waters. In our world today, in most every church, there's a real tug of war I'm not putting Jefferson in that category because I hadn't been here long enough to know. But I can tell you from past experience, there has been a real tug of war. Well, I don't want to sing the choruses. Well, we don't want to sing the hymns. Well, I don't want any instrument except the organ. Well, I don't want the organ at all. That has nothing to do, Paul is actually saying underneath all of this, it's the heart of the person doing the praise and where that praise is directed. What difference does it make? There's room for all of us. In the midst of this, at our former church, our pastor made the comment, well, you know, at one time or the other, even those hymns that are printed in your hymnal were new. Someone had to break ground. So Paul is encouraging his readers to exhibit their faith and their worship through music, through instruments, whatever they might be. He says, and you need to give thanks to God for everything in the name of Jesus. Instead of complaining, he's saying, don't argue among yourselves. Be loving toward one another. Be genuine with one another. Build up one another. And give thanks for everything that happens in the name of Jesus. And here's his final thought to us, to submit to one another. Submission is not something that comes natural to us. It's not something that comes easy to us. You know, wives, submit to your husbands. I can't ever remember that being anything but that being taught as I was growing up when you got to that passage. It didn't go on to talk about husbands love your wives and the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It was just wives, submit yourself to your... And I thought, well, you know, I don't know that I have to do that. Maybe I don't like what he wants me to do.
I'm not by yourself.
No, I'm pretty sure I've got a room full of folks here that, at least half a room full. But what is actually meant here is don't quarrel with one another. Be willing to give for the good of the body. Be willing to compromise and reach something that benefits everyone. Because he says, do this in the fear of the Lord. Fear? Do you fear the Lord? I do, but more than fear him, I love and respect him. And that's what this actually means. I need to be considerate of each and every person, every other believer, every other person, out of respect and love for the Father who lives inside me. As the Spirit works in our lives, we acknowledge to ourselves that all believers share equal ground in the eyes of the Father. In Psalm 128, I want to read just the first verse as we close, because it says exactly what Paul is, what he's saying to the people here. And this is part of the song, one of the songs of ascent. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. It's a blessing for us. It's a promise he has for us. It's his gift to us that we'll be blessed if we follow in his will, in his way. Father, again, we thank you for the time that you have given to us to meet together, to love and support one another, and to do it under the umbrella of your love and guidance. We ask you now that as we embark on the rest of our worship experience this morning, that our hearts would be in tune, that our minds would be ready to receive the spoken word, the words in song. Help us to truly love one another simply because you love each of your children, and you have come to live in our hearts. Amen.